Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top-brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
They got Willa. They got my daughter. I need to find her.
From acclaimed director Paul Thomas Anderson.
You can save that girl.
Today, experience what is being called the best movie of the year.
This is the end of the line.
Not for you.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Benicio del Toro, Tiana Taylor, Chase Infinity.
Let's go! Here
I am. One battle after another. Now playing only in theaters. Experience it in IMAX. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
You can hide.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, September 26th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And it's Friday. The weekend is here. I hope you all have exciting plans for the weekend. Nothing like starting a weekend with exciting plans. Sometimes I'm like, I wish I didn't make those plans and I didn't have to go out. But when you're excited to go out and have plans, that's a good weekend. So we got Eagles football on Sunday. We got Go Birds Radio on Saturday. And everyone go out and enjoy your Friday night tonight. So let's get into what we got to get into so you can get started with your weekend. A lot to get into today. First of all, some good injury news for the Eagles. We're going to get into some stuff Jalen Hurts had to say, some stuff A.J. Brown had to say, some stuff Kelee Ringo had to say, and then continue to preview this game with the Bucs, previewing the Eagles wide receivers versus the Bucs cornerbacks. And look, I think the Eagles are going to win this game. That's going to be my prediction. I don't think the Bucs are that good, but this is a big game for potential seeding purposes. Like, the Bucs might not be that good, but they are 3-0. Like, they are stacking wins. So, big game for the Eagles to go out there, keep the momentum from the Rams game going, and get a win down in Tampa Bay for once, because it certainly feels like it has been a long time. So, in order to get ready for Tampa Bay, they got to have their final day of practice. So, on the schedule for today, the Eagles, 11:45 a.m. press conference with Nick Sirianni. It's the last time we'll hear from him until the Tampa game. At 12:30, practice will begin. And then at 1:40, locker room opens up where we'll get to hear from the players for the final time. I think we'll hear from Saquon, Devontae. Should be a fun day, talking to all of your guys' favorite players. So if you want to follow along during the day, make sure you got the Odyssey app open at 11:45. I'm sure we'll be carrying Nick Sirianni. 12:30, we'll be tweeting out who's out there at practice. And then at 1:40, the locker room opens up. But if you can't follow along all day, check your podcast feed tomorrow morning. I will have a daily Go Birds for you on Saturday because it's regular season and we're not messing around anymore. All right, the injury report. Good news from an injury perspective as the Eagles got some key players back out there on the field. Zach Bond, who did not practice on Wednesday, was limited with that knee injury. Jahad Campbell, who didn't practice on Wednesday because of a tricep injury. And then Adoree Jackson, who didn't practice on Wednesday because of a groin injury. All three of them went from did not practice to limited on Thursday. So all of them were out there. I think Zach Bond's going to play. Jahad Campbell, I think, is definitely going to play. And Adoree Jackson, I'm still not too sure of. My read talking to him on Wednesday was I didn't think he was going to play, but he did advance in the practice and what he's doing. So that is a good sign. If it's not Adoree, I do think it'll be Keely, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, I don't think Adoree is going to play. I'm a little less sure than I was, but I would still guess Adoree is inactive against the Buccaneers. And then Tanner McKee, was limited on Wednesday, still limited on Thursday as he keeps fighting back from that right thumb injury. And again, we're kind of reaching a point where it's like, all right, like, is Sam Howell just a backup quarterback now? So we'll see what happens on Sunday. And then Lane Johnson was a full participant with a stinger. And then Will Shipley, full participant with that oblique injury. So looks like Zach Bond will likely play. Jahad going to play. Adoree Jackson, I'd be surprised. And then Lane and Will Shipley seem like they will be good to go. So the Eagles enter Tampa actually pretty healthy. And one small note, just, you know, I don't have audio of this, but that viral video of that viral video, don't know why I said it that way. That viral video of Jalen Carter where he has that 8 chain on and everybody said it was Jared versus Chain. Nope. Asked him today, not Jared versus Chain. So, you know, everybody got a lot of engagement on that, but it was not Jared versus Chain. Yeah. So that was a fun story. Would have been pretty crazy for the Rams if they lost and Jared versus had to give Jalen Carter his chain. But that's not the case. It was Jalen Carter's chain. And yeah, that story comes to an end. Okay, let's get into a little bit of emptying out the notebook, as maybe the old Big J's would say. More like emptying out the videos and the audio that I got this week in the locker room. It's probably a more modern way of explaining what I'm going to do. But we got some audio here from Jalen, from Keely Ringo and AJ Brown that I want to talk about. So let's start with what Jalen had to say when he spoke this week. And as you might expect, the first question was about Todd Bowles and just what he's learned from going up against Todd Bowles throughout his career. So here's Jalen on the challenges of going up against Todd Bowles.
He's blitzed at a high rate over the five games that you've played, increasingly so over the last three. What are the keys to beat that blitz?
Well, it's just you look inward. You look inward. Like everything that I've said the last couple weeks, you know, it's about controlling what you can, being on the same page, and ultimately executing at a high level.
Yeah, I think saying he has a lot of tools is a good way to go about it. He has good players on defense for sure. We're going to get into the secondary and all that later in the pod. But I think the challenging part of playing Todd Bowles, which is probably worrisome this weekend, is just it requires like perfect communication to pick everything up. He blitzes all the time. He's blitzed Jalen on like 71% of Jalen's dropbacks against Tampa over the last few years. So they should expect a lot of blitzes and picking him up is going to be huge. And obviously a big part of that is going to be Jalen's ability pre-snap to recognize what's going on. And that's not just on Jalen. Like Cam Jurgens has a part of that. And then once they figure out the protection and what they want, it's about the offensive line communicating it correctly, executing it correctly. But it does start with Jalen. And that is why Jalen is the most important player on the field. He will have the best view of the defense. He will be the one that has studied tape, as have the offensive linemen, preparing for this. And he's the one that's going to have ownership, really, of how the offense does against that Tampa Bay defense. So Jalen was asked about kind of having more ownership of the offense as his career has gone on, but certainly leading into this game, what is it, his fourth year as a starter? Fifth year as a starter? Yeah, fifth year as a starter. You know, he's seen a lot. And so he talked about having ownership of the offense and how that's increased throughout his career. And here's what he had to say.
You were asked about taking more ownership over the offense. Do you feel like that when you do get to the line, you know, based upon what the defense may give you a certain look, do you have the necessary freedom and tools to run the offense the way you want?
I think it's grown over time. It's definitely grown over time. From an authoritative stance and a tool stance as well. And so, you know, you want to make sure that you have everything available to you to go out there and make a play. I think also that, and not make a play, but, you know, drive the offense, but also knowing that everyone needs to be on the same page to bring that play to life. And so all of those things are important. And I know it starts and ends, you know, with what I do. And so you embrace that. You know, I embrace the ownership that comes with it, the responsibility that comes with what we do. At the same time, it takes all 11 on the field, nothing more than that. And so if we can all 11 be on the same page, if we are taking in and soaking in, you know, what we're being taught and instructing it in a way where it's received.
So I will say, like, to a man, almost every player I've talked to this week on offense has stressed communication, like, more than normal, like talking about being on the same page, or like making sure something as simple as like everybody's hearing what is said, making sure that when they communicate, they're communicating quickly and correctly. And I think that has led to some of the issues on offense. Execution is a big part of it, but also pre-snap, like making sure you're all on the same page is huge. You can have the most talented group of players in the world. If you're not communicating and moving in unison, it's not really going to matter. That's something the offensive linemen have talked about. That's something the players in the passing game have talked about. Not so much Saquon, because Saquon, you know, he's involved in the communication for sure, but it's mostly just obviously him when he has the ball. But I think that's kind of been the biggest challenge on offense so far. It's getting everybody on the same page and communicating. Now, you could say to yourself, like, why is it taking this long? And that's a fair question, considering they have a lot of the same players and a lot of the same coaching staff. But I think the encouraging part of it is it's not that they don't have the players. And it's not that they don't have the schemes, it's just executing it better. And once they do that, I think you're going to see them really start to take off. And one of the ways, or I should say, one time we did see them take off is in the second half against the Rams. And Hurts was asked about that, and his answer is interesting, but I thought there was one part in there that really, really stood out to me. So I'm going to play you the answer and see if maybe you pick up on the same thing. So here's Jalen Hurts on what the film showed in the second half versus the Rams.
What perspective did film review give you on why things were working so well in the second half?
What? Say that again?
What perspective did film review give you on why things were working so well in the second half?
We had to. We put ourselves in a position, and we approached the game in a different way. And, you know, you have games like that. You know, you have games like that. And I think as a unit, you know, we found a way to get it going. And I give a lot of credit to KP in that. Give a lot of credit to KP in that, being able to adjust and see and get us in the direction that we need to be.
I think Hurts has done such a good job this year of giving other people credit at the podium. And it's not like he's never been somebody that steps up to the podium and takes all the credit, for sure. But I just think he's done a really good job this year of being like, hey, Nick Sirianni's done a great job of that. Like, this guy's done a great job of that. And I think crediting Kevin Petullo when he's getting like ripped to shreds by fans means something. And in the past, like, for what it's worth, actually, like, Nick Sirianni has been ripped in the past publicly, and Jalen has not always been someone that's come to his defense at the podium. But I think this year he's done a much better job of giving people credit, because what Jalen says matters. Like, you could argue he's the most important press conference of the week. You could argue he's the most important person in the building. I think Nick Sirianni's voice in the building maybe carries a little more weight, but like, I think Jalen and what he says is super important. So when he goes out of his way to say, hey, that was Kevin Petullo in the second half, or when he goes out of his way to say, yeah, the mentality of this team, like, that starts with Nick, I really think that matters. And I think it's very helpful for guys like Sirianni or Petullo that get ripped in the public. And they do that for Jalen too, right? And they've always done that for Jalen. So I think it's very good to hear that from Jalen. So last question of his press conference was, of course, about the heat, as the Eagles will be traveling to Tampa a day early to adjust to the heat. And his answer on it, I honestly think, is how most players feel about this. But here's what he had to say.
When it comes to games with extreme heat, what do you find works best for you to maximize your performance?
Yeah, I go out there and play. I don't want to make it more than what it is.
Yeah, I don't get a sense from the players that they view going a day early as beneficial as maybe the coaches do. Like, I think they're excited to hang out. I think they're excited to have that time on the road together. But like, as you hear there from Jalen, like, he's not trying to make it more than what it is. AJ talked about it and said, hey, like, I've played in heat. It's hot. Like, it is what it is. So I'm sure that the sports science people are telling Nick it's beneficial to go a day early. But I don't get the sense the players are like super worked up about it in terms of feeling like they're going into this massive obstacle that is the heat. I think they're prepared to go play a football game. And by the way, like, it's going to be in the real field. It's going to be in like the 90s, which is certainly hot for sure. But the real temperature is going to be in like the 80s. And then the real field will be a little bit hotter. So it'll be hot, like no question about it. But it does seem like the players are not, you know, super freaked out about it, if that makes sense. All right, let's talk about what AJ Brown had to say, because AJ had a quote that I loved. Like, I'm going to use this multiple times. I asked him basically a question about like how the offense is working on getting on the same page, like we talked about a few minutes ago with Jalen, and getting everyone on the same page and communicating. And he starts to talk about that, but then he has a quote in there that I think really does like kind of characterize what this offense can be versus what it may be, how it currently is going. So here is AJ on being
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, on the offensive side of the ball.
Mentioned you just this week after the way the summer went, for him to have that confidence in you, does that mean a lot?
Yes, sir, 100%. Man, no greater feeling than somebody else that's coaching, you know, having full confidence in you. You know, of course, having that within yourself, you know, but when you have guys around you that also have that in you too, it's a good feeling.
Where is your confidence level based on the way things went this summer and where you are right now?
Based on how anything went this summer, that doesn't define anything, no outcome, no results or anything like that, man. I just, each and every single day, I want to continue to get better. And when opportunities may come, they fall, and I take advantage of them.
Well, what are some parts of your game you've worked on since training camp ended? Obviously, we can't watch practice anymore. So just how do you feel you improved, or what have you been working on?
I would say I'd rather show you than tell you. But, lateral quickness, man. I just want to be a playmaker out there, you know. I feel like this is a production business, especially at the corner position, man. I was able to find a way to get my hand on the ball, you know, and just really sticking in coverage.
Yeah, I love that quote right there. We like to always say, take what they give us, but at times we're takers. We can take whatever we want. Boom. Like, I love that mentality. And so I've talked a lot on this pod about how I think one thing that's been holding the passing game back is Jalen, like, being just like a little trigger shy, right? Like, not giving guys 50-50 chances, not throwing it, you know, to AJ when he's like not completely wide open. And I still do think that is, I think there's a lot of benefit to that because they don't turn the ball over. But the quote I like there is like, we're takers. We can take whatever we want. I do think at times a little bit, Jalen can be more like, boom, throw it up to AJ because we're going to throw it to AJ here. Throw it to Devontae because we're going to throw it to Devontae here. And of course you can't, you know, to use a different kind of analogy, you can't be like the running game and just run into a brick wall repeatedly, right? Like, sooner or later, you do have to take what the defense gives you. And that's true. Like, they do have to take what they give them. But also, when you have AJ Brown lined up against a corner that he's better than, then you can go out and be the taker. When you have Devontae going down the field against a corner, you can go and be the taker and take what you want because you're better than those players. So I think, like I said, and I debated Ike on this earlier in the week, like, They got to be like 20% better in the passing game. And I do think that 20% is about going out and taking what they want, as opposed to always like allowing the defense to dictate what's going on. And I do think a lot of players have had that mentality this week, a little more so than I've probably heard the first few weeks. So we'll see how aggressive they are against Tampa. But I do kind of think they want to go out there and be the aggressors and be the takers. And I'm sure Nick would love that message, because I think it's like a good quote. I feel like he will like. Speaking of Tampa, obviously the Eagles have struggled in Tampa Bay, especially Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. I mean, their first playoff loss was a bad playoff loss in Tampa in 2023. The collapse, ended in Tampa last year. They go to Tampa and it was their worst game of the year by far. So they have really struggled against Tampa. It's crazy how Tampa is always there, by the way. Like, it feels like it's never here. I guess in 2021, Tampa came here and they beat them. So they would be like 1-4, 1-5, whatever it is versus Tampa. But one player who's never lost to Tampa is AJ Brown. AJ Brown is 1-0. He was on the field week 3 of 2023 when the Eagles beat the Buccaneers. So AJ was asked about the Bucs having their number, and here's what he said.
I think that's just kind of fair, What's the record?
Was like, so I know
1-4.
Yeah, 1-4. Nick is 1-4 against them.
Yeah, so I think they, have the edge. It's a new year. It's a new game. Obviously, you can't take old games into a new one or an old motivation. Right. No, it's a new season. So we have a job to do, and we're gonna try to go out there and do it to our best ability.
I think that's true. Like, look, it would be lying to say that the Bucs haven't had the Eagles' number, but you also can't bring the last games into this one. And AJ can sit there confidently and say, well, I'm 1-0 against them. So while, Jalen and Nick as a head coach quarterback duo have won in almost every situation, it is also true that they have really struggled in Tampa against Todd Bowles. So I think they'll view it as a challenge to go there and kind of get this turned around. I think they really, really, really want to win down there in Tampa. And look, if they play to their potential, they can do it. They're the better team than Tampa, like full stop. They are the better team than Tampa Bay. So it's really about going out there, communicating, executing, and if they're the best version of themselves, like, they'll win the game. But on the defensive side of the ball, they are dealing with injuries. And one of those injuries is, of course, to Adoree Jackson and then Jacorian Bennett, who is now on IR. And as a result, Kelee Ringo could be out there and starting on Sunday against Tampa. So we talked to Kelee earlier in the week, and I asked him, Vic Fangio has said he believes in you. And you can hear Dave Zangaro in here as well asking him that. And I love the quote in here that he says. So here's Kelee talking about the potential of starting.
I think it just kind of took too long to get there, or to adjust, I should say, with all of us, not just in sort of coaches, but players as well. We like to always say take what they give us, but at times, we're takers. We can take whatever we want, and just having that mindset, and that's kind of what I was kind of leading to after the game. Kind of got spun out of context, but that's cool too.
Yeah, would rather show you than tell you. I think that's a good quote, right? Like, Kelee's been in the league for 2 years now. Kelee has had chances to win the job. Kelee had a chance this offseason to win the job. And at this point, him coming out and saying how great he's going to play, like, yeah, I agree. He would rather show us than tell us. I also like what he said about about going out and making plays. Like, that's what will keep Kelee on the field. If he creates turnovers, he will be out there on the field. They love turnovers. They emphasize it on defense. It's like a major sticking point, taking the ball away. Kelee has the ability to do those type of things. Kelee, I think, from snap to snap, is still learning and growing as a cornerback. But I think in terms of just being able to create havoc, he's big, he's tall, he's fast, he's strong. Like, he's a great special teams player, so he's used to going full speed at somebody. I think Kelee going out there and forcing a fumble or, obviously coming away with an interception, like, they're open to Kelee winning this job and just running with it. Like, it's not like he's in there for Quinyon, where Quinyon is coming back out no matter what. And I'm sorry, is going to be, would be coming back and starting from an injury no matter what. Like, if Kelee plays awesome, Adoree might not go back out there. So big opportunity for Keeley this weekend to really get his career going. Like, he's had a successful career in the way that he's won a Super Bowl and he's in the NFL and he's a big time special teams player. But you know he wants to be a starting corner. He wants to go out there and play on defense. And this will be his first real chance in a lot of ways to go out there and do that. So excited to see what he has. You know, it's an advantageous matchup in the way that Mike Evans isn't playing. We'll see about Chris Godwin. Obviously, you know, Mbuka is a really good player, but or Egbuka, I should say. Sorry, I feel like I'm pronouncing that correctly. So we'll see. But I do think it's a really big chance for Keeley to go out there and jumpstart his career. So on the other side, we are going to get into another preview of a matchup in this game, and that is the Eagles wide receivers versus the Buccaneers cornerback. So we're going to talk about that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, let's get into another matchup in this game, and that is the Eagles passing game or the Eagles receivers versus the Buccaneers secondary. So the Buccaneers secondary is only okay. They're not a great secondary. They're not filled with elite talent. They're more of like a schematic defense. They are a defense that wins because Todd Bowles is a really good defensive coordinator. And the numbers back that up. If you look at their defensive stats, they are 17th in points per game. They are 14th in points per drive. If you look at passing yards allowed per attempt, they are 17th, right? So they are not a defense that has been shutting down. And let's be honest, like, bad quarterbacks. They played Tyrod Taylor, who's not a great quarterback at this point of his career. CJ Stroud, who's been a disappointment. And was it Michael Penix? Yeah, Michael Penix, who I actually like, but still a very young player. So they have had quarterbacks that are not as good as Jalen Hurts, that don't have the weapons Jalen Hurts has, light up this secondary. And I think it's an advantageous one for the Eagles. Now, as we talked about a little earlier in the pod, obviously a big part of winning this matchup is going to be winning pre-snap. Like, Todd Bowles is going to blitz, and a big way to make big plays against the blitz is to know where you're going pre-snap. You're going to have one-on-one matchups and throw it up. Like, that's what they like to do against the blitz. They like to throw it up and give guys one-on-one opportunities. And the good news is they have good matchups this week with that secondary. So let's talk about the Buccaneers secondary, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the matchup. So their best corner by far, Jamal Dean, one of the best corners in the NFL. He's the fourth best cornerback in the NFL in coverage so far this year, according to Pro Football Focus. He was 17th last year, so he's been one of the better number one corners in the NFL. He's not in that like elite category yet, but he's a very good player, for sure. Like, he is easily the best player they have at corner. Their other two corners are fine. They're not great. But Jamal Dean is the guy. Like, that's their Quinyon, right? I don't know if he's as good as Quinyon, but that is their main guy. Now, like Quinyon, Jamal Dean, now this has changed for Quinyon, but last year Quinyon only played on the right side of the field. Dean only plays on the right side of the field. So that's what's interesting about this Buccaneers secondary is you can get matchups that you want against them because Dean will line up on the right and Zion McCollum will line up on the left. Now, Zion McCollum, not a very good corner. He's 60th this year in coverage, according to Pro Football Focus. He was 68th last year in 2024 in coverage. So just not a very good corner. He's not a special corner. Like, and this is the good thing about, let me rephrase that. The good part of moving Quinyon around is you don't allow the offense to dictate who's covering who. The good part for the Eagles of the Bucs not moving their corners around is that they can dictate who is covering who. If the Eagles want AJ Brown on Zion McCollum, they can get that matchup. If they want you know, Devontae Smith on Zion McCollum for a certain play, they can get that matchup. And then in the slot, Jacob Paris, he's a good player, 5'10", third round pick, new, but has played well so far. So he's a good player, but again, he is not somebody that you would, I mean, there's not a lot of corners in this league that you could think could shut down AJ and Devontae. But Jacob Paris, I even think with Dotson, like, that's a winnable matchup for Dotson. So if the Eagles want to pick on a player, I think Zion McCollum is the player to pick on, and they can dictate that matchup. Now, another benefit of the Eagles moving their receivers all around is they're all comfortable playing everywhere. Like, AJ lines up on the left, the right, and he'll line up in the slot. Not as much, but he will do it. Devontae lines up on the left, on the right, and he's very comfortable lining up in the slot. Dotson lines up on the outside and in the slot. So when the Eagles break the huddle, You know, like they can do that knowing where the Buccaneers defenders are going to be. Jamal Dean is going to be on the right. Zion McCollum is going to be on the left, and Jacob Parrish will be in the slot. So, you know, sometimes we talk about these matchups and it's like, you know, a certain corner is going to follow AJ or vice versa. Like, no, we know where these guys are going to be. And so the Eagles can go ahead and dictate that matchup. Now, they do have decent safeties. Antoine Winfield Jr., obviously been in the league for a while. We know he's a good player. Tyke Smith is a solid player. He doesn't play as much free safety. He'll line up at slot. He'll go in the box. He was their main slot corner last year. Now he plays more of a safety role. So, you know, good players. And again, these are guys you would expect, especially with Smith, to be sent on blitzes. I think they'll send Parrish on blitzes as well. So Todd Bowles will get creative on in how he uses these guys. But that's really the main takeaway on the Buccaneers secondary for me, is they don't have great players. They have one very good player in Dean. And the Eagles should be able to win these one-on-one matchups, and they should be able to dictate it. So again, AJ says, like, we're takers. We need to be the ones that go out and take. This is their opportunity. Go out and don't let, you know, like, dictate it. Go out and put AJ across from McCollum and absolutely torch him. Go out, put Devontae in the slot and have him match up with Parrish. Someone, one of the few players in the NFL like Devontae is bigger than, right? Like, they can go out and be the aggressors against Tampa. Of course, that all starts up front with making sure Jalen has time in the pocket to throw the ball, making sure pre-snap everyone's on the same page on where they want to be. But once they get that down, they should be able to move the ball against Tampa Bay, because their secondary is really just not that special. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. Go out, enjoy your Friday. The weekend is here. We're only a few days away from another day of Eagles football. So until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Birds! Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.